Luke chapter 4.
When you find your place in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 to 22, we'll stand up and we'll read from the Word of God. I'd like for you to read together. Would you do that? Okay. Luke 4. Let's look at verse 18 to 22. Verse 18. Ready? Let's begin. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bare him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? This is about the Lord himself. You know that. And he's quoting from Isaiah 61, back in the Old Testament. By the way, Isaiah is a fantastic book. And when you read from the book of Isaiah, just realize, when you come to the New Testament, a whole lot of Isaiah is found in the New Testament. A lot of it. And Jesus quoted this passage. Can you imagine? He's in the synagogue. Now, he is the hometown boy of this area, because he and his earthly father, they were in that area. They were carpenters. That people knew him. They said, Is not this Joseph's son? They knew him. But look at what it says. He takes the passage and applies it directly to himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And then he mentions five things. Look at these, please. He hath anointed me to preach a gospel to the poor, number one. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, number two. To preach deliverance to the captives, number three. Recovering of sight to the blind, number four. To set at liberty them that are bruised. Every one of those things you and I have faced. Hey, we've been blinded by the devil. We've had brokenhearted. We've been brokenhearted. We have needed deliverance from the Lord. Every one of these things you and I have faced. And then it says to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And we'll look at Isaiah in a moment. But you know what? He closed the book before the end of the sentence. And you'll see it when we go back to Isaiah chapter 61. He stopped it in the middle of the sentence. Now, I do that all the time. My wife's an English teacher, and she'll say, You blew it again today. Men, we do that sometimes. I mess it up. But he stopped in the middle of the sentence. And I'll show you something in just a moment, though. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Unless you and I, thank you for your prayer, by the way, brother. Brother, what's your name?
Jack.
Jack, Brother Jack. Thank you for the prayer. I appreciate it. When the Holy Spirit is on a man, on a person, on a woman, on a boy, on a girl, you know what? You sense the difference. And I want you to know something. You feel the Holy Spirit in this place. Why? Because God's people are here. People are surrendered to Him. They want His will. They want Him to be upon them. And that's what it's all about. The Spirit of the Lord, the Bible says, is upon me. Because He hath anointed me. Don't be afraid of that word anointing. Anointing is word that God takes His person, His servant, and anoints them with His sweet Holy Spirit to where they can do the work. There's nothing wrong with anointing. Sometimes some crazy people have come up with all kinds of weird ideas about anointing. Don't worry about that. Anointing is just that God wants to use you, and He empowers you and me to be used by the Lord. That's all it is. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to what? To preach, what is it, brethren? The gospel. To preach the gospel to the poor. You know, every one of us is poor. There's not a rich man in this house. Oh, you might think I have some things in this world. Oh, wait a minute. It can be snatched away just like that. Remember Job back in the Old Testament. One day he had it all, so to speak. Next day he had nothing. People who say, oh, I've attained now. I've reached my position now. I want you to know it can be gone in a moment, my friend. Be careful. All of us need to have the attitude, Lord, I don't have anything. I'm just an old beggar coming in asking for mercy and grace. And by the way, when you come that way, He fulfills everything you ask for. So He has appointed me, anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Sometimes people say, oh, I need a healing from the Lord. Well, okay, hope you get it. I hope I get it when I need it. But you know what? There's a lot of broken-hearted people that need the healing touch of God much more on their spirit than what they do on that old physical body. Because the physical body, listen, that thing, it's going to decay. In fact, it is decaying, and one day it's going to die unless the rapture takes place. And that body will be gone, but the spirit needs to be restored daily by the Lord. Let me show you something. Psalms 47 and verse number 3. Psalms 47, verse 3. When I was looking at this, I thought, oh God, that's me right there. Psalms 47 and verse number 3. Look at what it says. 47 and verse 3. I'm sorry, did I write the wrong thing down? 147, excuse me. 147, verse number 3, there. That makes more sense. Psalms 147 and verse 3. He healeth the what? Broken in heart, bindeth up their wounds. How many of you, I'm not doing anything wrong here, but how many of you have had a broken heart? Yeah. Broken hearts need to be healed, right? The only one that I know of who can heal a broken heart is the Lord Himself. I don't mind telling you, we lost one of our granddaughters, 15 years old, just short time ago, and broke our heart. There's a father who is grieving, and grieving very badly. How would you feel if you lost a teenage daughter? I mean, it would break your heart. God has a way of healing the broken heart. God has a way of restoring. God has a way of taking the brokenness and restoring it and putting it back together. God heals the brokenhearted. Look again, Luke chapter 4, please. Not only does He heal the brokenhearted, He preaches deliverance to the captives. Hey, how many of us have been captive to the devil? Every one of us. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, you were held captive by the devil. The devil has you. But you know what? Jesus sets you free. If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. In Ethiopia, in the Sodo Mountains, just a moment. I I'm like an old camel. I need a drink every now and then. In the Soto Mountains in Ethiopia, when the evangelists go in and they're trying to reach people for Christ, they'll tell them, you need to renounce the devil. You need to accept Jesus as your Savior. Many of them have been in devil worship. When they get saved, I love this. I'll take one hand and say, I renounce the devil. They'll take the second hand and say, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Can you imagine? Can you imagine just for a minute? Hey, think a minute. Somebody's standing there and lifts up one hand, tears in his eyes. I renounce him. I renounce the devil. And with the other hand, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Glory to God. Man, make a Baptist shout. You look and you say, oh God, oh God, oh God. It's real. It's real, brethren. It's not some played up phony business. It's real. He preaches deliverance to the captives. I've seen it where that young men and young women, tears would fall down their face. And I'll tell you a story of a woman here in just a moment, where that they would get ready to accept the Lord, tears just flowing down their face. And, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, can you save me? Will you save me? And he does. Amen. He does. And when he comes in, by the way, he comes in to stay. Well, this one woman, we started a new church in the last year out in a place called Awash, the Awash River. We started one there. And one of the men who got saved, he said, do you need a piece of land? Yeah. I've got a little piece. I'll give it to the church. Well, church was hardly started yet. I mean, just half a dozen people or so. But he gave a little piece of land. And maybe the whole piece is smaller than the inside of the auditorium here. So it's not very big. But it's enough. And they built a little mud house. Have you ever built a mud house? You ever built a mud house? Oh, it's fun. You get knee deep in the mud and you get it very liquefied. And you put up pieces of wood and you make a house. And everything in the world crawls in that mud, but at nighttime, you'll see the bugs crawling on the wall. But anyway, it's a house. And we put tin over the top of it and made a church out of it. They outgrew it in just a little while. Didn't take them very long. And when they outgrew it, they said, hey, Pastor, we need to do something. They call me Pastor just because I'm an old man. But anyway, they said, Pastor, can we do something? I said, sure, take the back end of it out and make it a little longer. So they did. And after a little while, they said, we're at the end of the fence. I said, okay, what? But the church is full. I said, well, take the side out. So they took one of the sides out. And they pushed it back this way and made it a little bigger. They filled it up again. I don't know what they're going to do next time. But one lady came a few weeks ago. I was there and I was preaching. She was demon possessed. By the way, do you realize the devil's still alive? And he still possesses people. I don't care if it's America or if it's in Ethiopia or anywhere else. He still possesses lost people. And he'll still try his best to send you straight to hell. Well, this woman, I preached the gospel, preached hard. And she was back there, and I saw her, and the Lord spoke to my heart, need to preach to that woman, and I did. And I begged her in Jesus' name. I said, come and be saved. Come and be saved. Now, over there, we have three translators. So by the time it comes back to you, you've forgotten what you're going to say next. Because it goes from this one to this one to this one, and then it comes back to you and you're listening. Because you can understand a little bit of what they're saying. What they're saying, by the time it gets around to me, where in the world am I at? You know, I'm somewhere in this place. But anyhow, that dear woman, she stood up and she came. And when she came, something was wrong. And I knew it. And the devil would not let her accept the Lord. And a couple of the men had to physically pick her up. I'm serious. They physically picked her up and pulled her out of the church building, got her outside. And when they did, she began trembling like this and rattling something. I couldn't understand it. And they said, Brother Ray, we've got to talk to her. We've got to pray over, talk to her. Listen, sometimes the hold of the devil is far greater than what you and I imagine. And you talk about being just hard, just the heart being hard. The body, I've seen the body stiffen up or convulse like this. And you just wonder, how in the world do you get through? You and I don't get through. It's God who has to break through that kind of bondage. He gives deliverance to what? The captives. I hope to God when we get back over there that one day I'll see that woman. And you know what? I'll say, hello, sister. And she'll be a sister in Christ. I hope that. I hope that, but it's only by God. Well, look, let's look at something else just for a minute. Look at this, please. And recovering of sight to the blind. Hey, every single one of us have been blinded by the devil. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, that God opens up the eyes of the blind. The devil has blinded them, their eyes so that they cannot see the truth. I got to tell you a funny story right here. There was a little boy. He was about 3 years old. Now, over in Ethiopia, they do like to do in Kenya sometimes with the Zulus. Have you heard the name Zulus? Okay. They're a tall people. And they're especially well known in Kenya. And they'll jump up and down like this. And you know what? They respect me over there. Most of them, at least. And they more or less behave themselves in church when I'm there. And when I'm not there, when the mouse is not there, hey, they just do what they normally do. Well, I didn't know, but in that church, when the preacher really gets to preaching well, they'll jump up and down. Amen. And so they'll start doing this, and I can't do it because I'm too fat. But they'll jump that high off the ground. And that little boy, honest to goodness, the preacher was preaching, and boy, he was getting on it. You know what that little boy did? Woo! And he started jumping up and down like this. And I'm sitting there, and Brother Jack, tears are flowing down my face. And Lord have mercy, man, I'm about to have a fit. And that little boy is jumping up and down, people are clapping and shouting. They're not quiet in the Baptist church over there. That little boy, he started jumping up and down, and my old heart was about to pound out of my chest. And I said, oh God, would you give me about another 20 years over here where I can serve the Lord? Would you give me something? You see, you and I don't know how much time we have. My granddaughter was 15 or 16. 15. Young people, you might say, I've got the whole life ahead of me. Have you? Have you? Well, I don't know. I hope you have a long time. I do. But only God knows for sure. God puts the boundaries on our life. God puts those boundaries there. Thank God He does. I don't know. Say, how long is yours? Well, I don't know. Might be 5 minutes from now. Who knows? I don't know and don't really care. But I know one thing. I want to serve Him while I'm alive. If you feel that way, you know what you're going to find? You're going to be able to give sight to the blind. You're going to be able to tell somebody, hey, the devil has you blinded, but I want you to know Jesus Christ can take those blinders off and you can be set free. Look at this. To set at liberty them that are bruised. The word bruised is beaten up, oppressed. Anybody willing to admit it came from a broken home? Home where did you had beatings? I did. My wife did. I certainly don't want to say anything in the wrong way, but some homes have been homes where there was a lot of abuse. And whether it's physical or whether it's verbal, doesn't make any difference. Abuse is abuse. Homes, look. It says to set at liberty them that are bruised, oppressed, broken, beat up, to where that you say, I can't live in this situation anymore. I can't stand this anymore. I want you to know something. Only Jesus Christ can set you at liberty. Only Jesus Christ can take and make a house a home. When Wanda and I got saved a long time ago, we didn't have a home. We had a house. That's what a lot of people have. They just have a house. They don't really have a home. And when Jesus Christ came in, He gave us a home. I got saved on a Sunday night. She got saved the next Sunday morning. And God gave us a home, a Christian home, a home that had become a godly home. It's not a perfect home, but it's a godly home. And it's one where that there's no more beatings and yellings and screamings and cursings and all of the things that oppress and bruise and break families and break up homes. God has done that. But look what it says. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now go back to Isaiah 61. Now look at where the Lord took this from. And remember when I mentioned to you about how He stopped in the middle of the sentence? Well, let's read chapter 61. Oh, I like this. The Spirit of the Lord God, verse 1, is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And Jesus stopped. But look at the rest of it. And the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Had things burned up, God can take it and make it beautiful all over again. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. A lot of people have a heavy heart. Boy, heavy. How much has things gone up in America? Double? Triple? Maybe? I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't know. I know gasoline's out of sight. I saw a cute thing on Facebook the other day. A man was on his knee like this, and he's looking at his beautiful young bride, and he reaches over and pulls out a jerry can full of gasoline and says, "I want to give you something very expensive." Yeah. I mean, gasoline's out of sight. $4.50, $4.60. Good grief. You need a motorcycle rather than a car nowadays, but the things are expensive. And I know that, but over in Ethiopia, ladies, a 5 liter, 5 liters is a gallon and something, 5 liters of oil has tripled. It was, let's say 100, then it was 200, now it's 300, now it's close to 400, just for cooking oil. And they hardly make anything. They make less than $100 a month. How in the world do you tithe and have a church to manage when the tithe is just a matter of 75 cents, a dollar, maybe $10 at the very most? How in the world do you manage? It's hard. Not easy. You know, there's one thing about missions. Listen, let me talk to you about missions for just a moment. Realize something. If you have 100 people in your church in Ethiopia and everyone tithes in that church, you might have $50 for the whole month. A lot of single mothers, they make hardly anything. But every soul is precious. Here's where you come in. Folks, every dollar that you give, every single dollar, listen to me, every single dollar that you give is multiplied by 40 or 50 times. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? You give something. All of us give something. And the first thing you know, God takes that money and He multiplies. There's a beautiful story. Let me tell you this story here. There was a little girl. This true story happened over in Pennsylvania. I forgot the name of the city, but happened there years ago. A little girl had 53 cents. Took her 2 years to save the 53 cents. She went into the garbage, and she found a little red purse. Do you remember those little red ones? The little one is about this big and had that little clasp on top. Well, that was the kind that it was. And she found that, and it was, you know, about half of a purse. But she took it, and she put her 53 cents, a coin at a time, in that little purse. Well, the little girl went to a Baptist church. But she didn't have very good clothes on. You know what they told her? This is sad. They told her, "There's no room in. We don't have another chair for you. I'm sorry." Because she wasn't as good as the other kids. Don't ever do that. Hey, amen. Don't ever, ever, ever push a child away from the church. Let them in. I don't care how they are. Let them in. Bring them in, teach them, tell them. Well, that little girl, she died. And I think if I remember the story correctly, I think it had been a couple of years. The little girl had died, and they called the preacher to come over and preach the funeral. Well, he found the little purse, and he found that 50, I believe it was 53 cents, if I remember correctly. He took it up to the pulpit. When he got up to that pulpit, here's what he did. He got up there and he said, "Let me show you something. Let me show you something." He said, and he opened the purse and he dumped out the money. He said, that little girl had prayed and asked the Lord Lord, I'm going to give this to the church so they can build a bigger Sunday school so that no kids will have to be turned away. Amen. Guess what happened? Media found out about it. The media started telling the story. In just a little while, $250,000 had been raised for Sunday schools in that town, in that church. The deacons, God got a hold of them. And the first thing you know, money started coming in and money started coming in. And 53 cents had become way over $500,000. And today in that town in Pennsylvania, there is a Sunday school where there are thousands of kids. And nobody's ever turned away. And they've got a little glass, what do you call that thing? A display glass where that the little red purse is there and 53 cents and how that God can use anything. Hey, you might say, oh, Brother Ray, what are you going to do? Is the church going to be sustainable when you leave? I don't know if the church is going to be sustainable, but I know God said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I know one thing for sure, it doesn't depend on the missionary. It doesn't depend on the supporting churches. It depends upon God. I want God to be all over that place. But He uses us. What are you doing? Now, Wanda and I'm not about to tell you how old she is, but I don't mind telling you how old I am. By the grace of God, I'm 75. And, hey, praise God, I may make it to 76. Maybe, may make it to 77. Maybe, I don't know. But I want you to know something. Use everything you've got for Jesus Christ. Amen. Use it all. You say, oh, Brother Ray, now I have my 401, I have my 301, I have my 123, and I have this, and I have that, and I've got something else. Yeah, well, I'll tell you something. If you keep it and never invest it in the kingdom of God, you are being foolish. Use what you need for you and your kiddos. Don't deprive those kids. Take care of those grandkids. Take care of the great-grandkids. Take care of the ones that God's given you. But use your money in the kingdom of God. I encourage you, invest, invest, invest. Put it in. And you know what you'll find? The acceptable year of the Lord is now. Oh, I'm waiting for another 10 years on my whatever it is. Well, do you have 10 years? I'm waiting until I'm 55 and 65. I remember 55. I think it was about 30 years ago. But you remember a certain age and stuff. Brethren, come on. Invest for eternity now. Put your money and your heart together. God, take, I don't have, I get some money in my wallet. Take something and look. Not a dollar. Here. Take a 20. Lord, I put this in for the kingdom of God. And Lord, with all my heart, I say, please multiply it and bless it and make it be multiplied over and over and over again. 53 cents became over $500,000 from a little girl that had nothing. Hey, I want you to know something. Little as much when God is in it. What will money buy you today? Not much, especially at the gas pump. But My goodness, when you invest in the kingdom of God, people like Teddy and Brahanu and different ones are saved, and kids are saved, and a little boy named Lul, the little boy who lives with us, oh, he's a precious little guy. Ranks first, by the way, on all of his exams. He's just a clever little guy. But he's got a big problem. He speaks English with a southern accent. I have no idea why, but he does. But he corrects the teachers. The teachers will say something. He'll say, "That's not right. In English, you say it this way." Whoops. You know what? Love the Lord. Serve Him with all your heart. Let me show you something here just for a moment. Look at this, please. It says, and Pastor Meter, I think this one is for you, brother. Isaiah 61, verse 3, the middle part. He gives the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. And Pastor, this is what, when I read this, I thought of you. And they shall build the old waste places. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the wasted cities, the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Your pastor, Pastor Meter, Pastor Doug Meter, took Willimantic Baptist Church and has made it, by the grace of God, a church. What's the name of the other church you're working on? Citywide. Citywide Baptist Church. And by the grace of God, He'll make it a proper church. Why? Some people are willing to invest their lives in what's broken down, in what's forsaken, in what's been just disregarded, disbanded, and just disrepair. Guess what? There's joy in that. There's joy in seeing new people coming in, and where the place used to be full and now it's down to just a handful, and you begin building it back up again. Hey, God needs that kind of building as well. Your pastor is one of those kind, one of those who does that kind of work. I love him. I love your pastor. I hope you, do you love your pastor? Amen. Pastor Donnie, are you in here somewhere? He's in children's church. I need to go down there. Maybe the sermon's better down there than what it is up here. Pastor Donnie is a legacy for this brother. I wish I had a son in the ministry. I wish I had a son that was standing in the pulpit preaching the gospel. That's a great heritage. That's a great legacy that you're leaving. Well, let's finish up something. Let's do it. Luke chapter 4. Let's just finish all this up with this right here. Verse number 21 and 22. Luke 4, 21 and 22. And he began to say unto them, This day, is this scripture fulfilled in your ears? And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Hey, think a minute. This day. I thought about that. What is this day? What will you do with this day? I gave a tract to a man at the Dunkin' Donuts this morning. And I thought, Lord, speak to his heart. Do you carry tracts around in your pocket? Do you have something in your purse, ladies? Do you have something where that you can give to somebody? May I give you this? About the wonderful Lord Jesus. You give something to someone. This day, what are you doing this day for the Lord. Oh, you say, well, Brother Ray, I'm in church this day. What about Monday? What about Tuesday? What about Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday? What about those other days? This day, Jesus said, is this scripture fulfilled in your ears? You know, the Bible talks about this day, today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of opportunity. Today is the day of service. Today is the day where you can serve the Lord or you can walk out, be the same as the way you walked in. Don't do that. Let the sweet Holy Spirit of God work in your heart when the invitation's given. May I ask you a question? How long has it been since you bowed your knee before Jesus? How long has it been since you said, Lord, do some work inside here. Lord, help me. When's the last time you knelt and you prayed? Oh, we don't do that. No. We need to do it. We need to get back. America needs to get back. Lakes Pond Baptist Church needs to get back. I need to get back. You need to get back. You need to get back. Every one of us need to get back. We need a place to where that the pride or whatever it is that keeps us from doing it, that we set that thing aside, ladies and gentlemen, and we do what we know is right. And you know what will happen? Boy, God will meet with you. God's just waiting and willing for His people to bow the knee and bow the heart and surrender and say, oh God, just right now, Lord, just do something in me. I need it. I'm broken. I need something done in my life. And you know what He'll do? He'll do it. He'll do it. If you're here, now listen to me seriously, just for a moment and I'll close. If you're here, and you say, Brother Ray, I don't know that I'm a born-again believer. I don't know that I'm saved. Oh, my friend, the wages of sin, listen now, the wages of sin is what? Death. The gift of God's eternal life. Two opposites. Death that comes to all men, or life that comes to the born-again believer. Real life. Hey, Billy Graham said it the right way. When I'm dead, don't think I'm dead. Man, I'll be more alive than what I've ever been. And I agree with him 10,000%. You and I won't have any more aches, pains, no more tears, no more crying, no more death. None of that stuff. We'll be brand new in heaven. Wages of sin is death. Gift of God's eternal life. Repent of your sin. Seriously now. Repent of your sin. Ask Jesus, Lord, forgive me. You know what a sinner I am. I may not know you. Pastor may not know you. Brother Donnie may not know you. Somebody else may not know you. But God knows you. And God knows everything that you and I have done in our hearts. Every single thought. Everything that we've done. But He loves you. Doesn't love the sin. But He loves you, my friend. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that you and me, that whosoever believeth in Him should what? Not perish, but have everlasting life. Life, not just existence. I talked to you about my granddaughter. Some people are like her, that they just exist. That's all. No real life. You know there's no life outside of Jesus Christ. You realize that? There's really no life. Oh, you may be alive physically, but spiritually, nah. We're dead as a doornail. I want you to know something. You can be alive. You can be alive in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to give the invitation. Seriously, if you need to come, be saved, come. Pastor Meter's right here. Others are right here. They'll help you to come to Jesus Christ. Then, if you need to get things right between you and God, spend some time at the altar, come. Come right now. Let's pray, please. Heavenly Father, You know our hearts. Lord, I've tried my best to preach the message you've given me. I ask you, oh God, that you'll speak to men and women. Help us, all of us, every one of us, oh God, to be touched by your Holy Spirit. Those who need to be saved, bring them under conviction. Draw them to yourself. Those who just need to say, oh God, work in me. Oh God, draw them as well. And help us, Lord Jesus. We commit everything to you, Lord. We love you and praise and bless you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.